Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butt all got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog Millionaire! Let's make some noise. Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
God, we got a long intro. Like, I really like our intro, but it's really long.
It is a little bit. It's like, I imagine it's people a little skipping long through it all the time, but we listen to it the full thing every time, basically.
I know. Like, I think it's good, but it's quite long.
What do we shorten up? What could we...
I don't know.
Do we, like, cut the song down? Do we cut the amount yes. of stuff we have in there?
We would have to cut the song, for sure.
Would we ever contemplate going to a different song?
Fuck no.
That's a good answer right there. I didn't want to either.
No. We're fully committed. We're like, I mean, if you think of Coffee Chatter, you think of Nickelback, think of Nickelback, think of Coffee Chatter. It's like very much...
Two pieces of pot at this point.
I guarantee you people in BMX, when they hear that song from Nickelback come on, they think of Coffee Chatter.
100%. I hear it. I think of it too.
Yeah, I know. I've had a lot of people say that. So we got
to
keep it.
Maybe that's like a 2 to 2.5 minute intro song.
It's very long.
Problem is that the song just dies in the perfect moment to then transition. So it's like, I don't know how to.
We would have to chop the top half of the song. Like
the intro of the song would have to be chopped, you think?
Like, you know, we have the song melting into our quotes or whatever. We'd have to chop like the first part of the song to make that. That's the part we would have to be shorter, I think.
That'd be tough.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we just got to roll with it for now. Anyway, show 238, Manon Veenstra, 2-time World Cup podium finisher this year so far. Man, she's been on the steady rise in elite women world rankings the last couple of years. And now she's one of the very top women in the world. So it was great to get to know her some more on the show and chat with her. We had a great talk with her.
Fantastic chat. Great attitude. I love her attitude. I love how into it she is. She wants to compete. She wants to just keep getting better. I think she was a dark horse in the past couple of years. And I think she's ridden her way out of
and earned it. Yeah.
And earned her way to being not a dark horse anymore. She is a contender at the front of the pack in the finals and like not only going for a podium, but I think she's going for wins in the future.
A lot of our listeners probably won't know or won't know her very well because we have a very, you know, most of our listeners are in the US or a big part of it. Mm-hmm. And she's obviously Dutch and, races a lot more overseas, but for sure after you listen to her you won't it's impossible to listen to her on the show and not be a fan of her is my
right?
point.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I think like part of the fact is like that she's not on the Dutch national team, where the people in the US when they see these World Cups they look for that bold jersey that they know, oh, they're Dutch team members kind of thing. Well, she's usually not in that jersey, so a lot of times you kind of fly under the radar too. So it's mm-hmm. like her doing her own thing, I think, is actually the story that people are going to, I hope, catch on to the most, because to me, I think that's one of the coolest parts about her and her story is the fact that she is doing it. She's had the opportunity, let's say, to be on the national team now, but you'll hear about that, but she's doing it on her own. Like she's fighting her way.
Yeah. And I think it's really impressive that she's stuck with her program, even though she's had opportunity to go on the team. It's really cool. You guys will hear from her. ProGate Europe. So I know Manon is sponsored by another gate company. I can't remember the name of it, but ProGate Europe, winning starts at the Great Gate. And she knows this. Everyone knows you need a great gate to start to win.
Yeah, absolutely need one. Manon has had great gates on a ProGate Europe. I'm just going to put that out there. She has the World Cups, the World Champs, the Olympics, all these big events. They have ProGate Europe. So Manon knows when she goes to these big events, she needs to be good on a ProGate Europe. That's all it is. That's all it is. Yeah. So get yours today.
Sad that Whittier Narrows is closing down. That track's been around forever.
Holy, hey, has it ever. That's a SoCal staple track, isn't it?
I don't know. Like, tracks in LA, like, I feel like every couple years, another one closes down. Orange Y closed down, I think, a few years ago. There was a big track in Simi Valley, like, a longer time ago that closed down. There's already not that many tracks in LA, which is weird, because SoCal, it's like, BMX has always been here. It's kind of the birthplace of it and action sport and whatever. And there just isn't that many tracks, really.
It's kind of sad to see, isn't it? Like, if people were to look at the history of BMX, like, it points to San Diego, or points to Southern California as being the home of it, the birthplace. And now it's like, it's kind of the dead spot. Like, it is, right? It's like, how many people are going to SoCal now for training camps, to whatever? It's like, some people from overseas will come and they want to, like, live that life, live that California BMX life, which is still around with a couple tracks, but it's dying off, isn't it?
So I don't know if it's like, obviously LA is extremely overpopulated. I don't know if it's because there's just no room. And then obviously like property and land in general is like not only scarce, but extremely expensive. So it's probably something to do with it, but it's weird. Like there's such a huge, I don't know, hotbed for it. And there's such a huge population to draw from, obviously, in Southern California in general. There's just not many tracks. Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah, I wonder if that's you talking about like how much it costs basically, and how like the land and like where it is, like everything being kind of too overgrown in there. Like, is that part of it? Because you look at like San Diego, you look at what Tyler's doing with San Diego BMX, and that seems to be fantastic. But it feels like there's a big difference between San Diego and the LA area when it comes to those tracks.
Very different. Yeah.
It's like
LA is such a huge place.
It's like, I don't know. Whittier was in somewhat of a park, I would say, but at the same time, it felt like none of these places feel like BMX is that main site in those areas, right? You look at Bellflower BMX, it's kind of tucked away in that back corner. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that going to get exposure other than BMXers that already know about it? It's really tough.
I know. It seems like there's always just like junk land hidden somewhere, and there's kind of just BMX tracks started.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it makes it really tough for like somebody just to stumble upon it.
Yeah, I know. So that's really too bad. A big loss to the sport and community with Whittier going down. Yeah, it's too bad. Rock Hill this weekend. USA BMX Pro schedule back on the grind.
Back on the series, back on the tour, baby. Here we go. USA BMX Supercross events. This will be a good
race. Tap Manual fucking central on the first straight, baby. Let's go. Supercross Hill to Tap Manual. Hell yeah.
The worst Supercross first straight in history. Let's do it.
The fact that hasn't been axed is appalling.
It's a joke, dude. You mean to tell me we haven't been able to figure something out to make it a real first rate again?
You got to just do something. Like, you got to do something on the first jump.
It is. It's the worst Supercross first rate in BMX right now.
It's a joke. It really is.
You mean
there's just no way around it. Like, I know we've talked about it, but we're going to say it again. It's terrible. Like, it's really bad at the first jump.
It's like the whole thing. Like, you got a first jump that's a tabletop uphill. And then you got like this, a little curb of a double thing. And then like the step up, step down that you could on the whole first straight, you could pump very quickly if you wanted to, I think, which to me, that's just not good.
Which makes there no point to have a Supercross hill.
Yeah. 100%. So, and you got a hill that's half a crank too short. So
you need to just strap dynamite to the first straight, blow it up, and then redo it.
So when Rock Hill was first built, it was kind of like it turned into like, I would say, I don't know, the staple of what BMX, like Supercross should be. I mean, they had some big jumps. I mean, I think the third straight for, especially for the women, was definitely below par. So it was subpar, but everything else was like big jumps. Like, this is it. This is what Supercross is, like nice big open turns as well. And now it's kind of gone like, the facility is great. It's still one of the best facilities, but it's gone backwards. You got slippery turns. Jumps that, other than the second straight still, like jumps that aren't that, like, well, I guess it's only the first straight, that aren't big at all, though.
I forgot about the first corner. Oh, boy.
So slippery.
I just remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just remembered.
That's, yeah. You know, I kind of started talking my way out of that, but, like, because the second and third straight for the men is fantastic. I think the women's straights are better as well,
too. The third straight does look really good for the guys, like the newer one or whatever. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. More tech, kind of peaky.
But it's like, why did we not do that for the first straight? Like, why did the other straights so good, but the first straight's just a joke?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because the second, third straights are legit Supercross, not basic, not, you know, berm jump. So you got to jump.
Yeah, it's a serious jump. It's a serious jump.
I know. It's really disappointing, honestly. Like, the original first straight they had, I thought was good, safe and fair, but
not anymore.
Even if you just made the first jump a double and like cut out the middle, and then even if you had like the dumb little second jump thing, it would still be better. At least you still have to jump the first jump.
It's still a separator, so somebody can't get cut off and just be like, oh, I'm getting cut off. I'm just going to go full speed still and just pump the jump instead.
No, and I agree with having a first jump where it's like, yeah, you got cut off or whatever, you can still jump it. And it's not like death if you got cut off or lose speed, especially for like junior women, you know, whatever. But there's a common medium there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So I wonder if they're going to do anything to the turn before the World Championships. Very curious about that.
I'm thinking no, and I think it's going to suck. And I don't want to sound negative, but I don't think it's going to get changed. And because it's, I think it's expensive to change. And I think it's just going to, everyone's just going to have to deal with it, unfortunately.
Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. I don't disagree. I don't think they will either. I just wonder if they could do anything. Cause it's like, it's not the shape, it's not the size, anything like that. It's just the surface. It's just the coating they put on there to seal it all together. That just is a skating rink when it gets
I know
wet.
We've talked about this, but do you know why they do it? Why they put it on?
I can't give you like their reason. I could give you reasons why. Like, I think their winters hit hard. Like, their asphalt was falling apart before because it was old. I think over time that just they do have cold winters and then they have the hottest summers, right? So it's like the combination of that plus rain, plus their turns being quite old. I think they were just falling apart and they needed something to seal it. So they put that stuff on because it's a sealer, I think.
Right. So it maintains the asphalt for longer.
Yeah. Like the water just beads off better. It's not seeping in as much. And then the problem is, though, it's just like the sealant is basically, it's like a, I don't know if it's paint, but it turns into a smooth, like slippery surface.
It's probably one of those things where they did it obviously to maintain the track. And then we're probably like, oh shit, this doesn't work.
Yeah. But now they spend a lot of money on it. They don't want to spend more money maybe on changing it, or they don't know what to do to change it. One of the two.
Yeah, maybe you just have to pour more asphalt over it or rip it up, which is neither is a great option.
I heard that Rio, I don't know if the turns were like this, maybe they were, but did they use some kind of like the what do they use on tennis courts?
Yeah, I think it was like that. I don't know what that surface is, but it was very, very sticky. It was like in a good way, like it was very grippy.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's something that could be laid down, because I think that's something that they put onto a tennis court, right? I don't know if they paint it on or they throw stuff on and that's what happens. So I wonder if they could do that still.
Just go full Rio track and just have the red dirt with the green turns.
You know what?
Looks like a track. And it looks like a Mario Kart track.
What a throwback that would be.
That would be better though. Like that. And I mean, I think as long as they learn from it and don't do it again, or the other tracks hopefully don't do it. I think it's, I mean, if they didn't know and they just did it, like you can't really blame them, right? Because
Mistakes happen. It's fine.
Yeah, totally. But it's for a world champ, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years now where I think it's seen that it's an issue in racing, and it would be very beneficial if they could find a way to change it, especially like you say, when it comes to world champs, like second biggest event of the year. So,
yeah. All right, let's get into Menon without further ado.
Without further ado, enjoy Menon Veenstra, everybody.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, geez, it's early. How are you feeling?
All good. Actually, I get up early like almost every day, and every day is not a problem. And this morning I woke up and I was like, oh my God, it's early.
What's a typical morning wake up? Are you a morning person?
Yeah, for sure. And we train pretty early here as well. So usually we do gym at around 7. So 7. I'm usually up about,
Why do you guys train so early?
We got a pretty young group, and some have uni or some have work or some have I'm adapting.
I was definitely like a 9:30 guy for morning training.
That's ideal. At home when no one waits for me, I'm like, all right, maybe I'll go later, but here the routine is 7, so we're there at 7.
That's impressive.
I'm so happy because in the first like 10 seconds of this conversation I heard you say fucking and like a swear word. And I've been practicing for the last 3 days to not swear. And then I heard you do it. I was like, oh my God, I'm in the clear. It's okay.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't care. It doesn't matter. So with English being your second language, it's funny. You usually learn the swear words first. Did you learn the swear words first or did you learn the actual language first?
Like, I think I still only know the swear words. I never learned the language. I can only swear. It's all I can do.
It's so funny though, because it's like, if you learn a swear word, that's all you fucking, it's all you use. You just don't have more vocabulary to just keep going. It's all you use. So.
I used to be super bad with it, but I've really been trying to be better. And the last 2 days I've been really practicing. I was like, I cannot do this on the podcast. I cannot do this on the podcast. But
fuck it.
I'm in the
Fuck it. We don't care.
You do it, so I can do it. We good.
did you learn more English in school or like through racing and stuff? Because in like Holland and like a lot of Northern European countries, especially, everyone speaks perfect English.
Yeah, I know. And everyone always tells me this. And I have no idea where everyone learns it because I definitely didn't learn it at school. Like it's all BMX. All my friends and the traveling is what taught me. Because school, yeah, I mean, you learn stuff, but it's very basic. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't see how you can have a full on conversation with someone with just that knowledge. So,
yeah,
I don't know where we pick it up. It's probably all the TV shows and everything. Like, we don't really like the French, everything is translated and we don't really do that. So maybe that's why, I don't know.
I think it's so wild that if you talk to somebody else from a different country, a lot of time you both have to, or you often will go try to go speak in English. It's like you're both in like a second language. It's like, I couldn't fathom trying to do that.
Yeah, but that's the most awkward thing in the world. Like I always try to do it to not be rude because I spend a lot of time with people that know me only as like from here, or they all speak English or they only ever hear me speak English. And then when there's Dutch people around, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be rude because it sounds like I'm talking about stuff that you can't hear. But this person speaks Dutch. It's so weird for me to speak English to this person. So yeah, it's the most uncomfortable thing ever to speak English to like Dutch people.
If you're doing like an interview or whatever in English, are you thinking in English or are you thinking in Dutch?
I feel like my brain is scrambled by now because I'm writing for this French club. I'm from the Netherlands. I'm working with a Kiwi coach. So my brain is just shambles. Like I think in my own language. Like I don't even think in a language anymore. Like I dream in English, but then I sometimes reply to people in English in Dutch, and it's just everything mixed up at jumbled. The moment.
That's an impressive brain right there. We get so spoiled with English, we don't even even try to learn another language. We joke about with a few words and like, oh yeah, everyone else will just speak English to us. It's fine. I don't need to worry about it.
But in Canada, there's a large part that speaks French, right? So you guys must have had that when you were younger.
Yeah, they speak French in Quebec, so a province in the east, but the French they teach in school, like I took it for like 6 years and I still can't speak it.
Yeah, I feel that. I've been writing for this team for like 6 years and I'm like, I still do not understand.
Yeah, I still can't speak shit. well, great job at the first couple World Cup weekends. Two podiums must have been a goal for a long time of yours, I'm sure.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, it was pretty crazy, especially the first one in Rotorua because obviously, I'm based a lot in New Zealand, so it almost felt like a home race for me. So, like, to pull that off with all those people there and with a lot of people that mean so much to me, that was really, really cool. And then to do it back-to-back, like, also in Brisbane, yeah, that's pretty unreal. I mean, yeah, pretty crazy.
You can see when you cross the finish line in New Zealand, you see it with, like, a lot of people, like, when it's their first podium and stuff, it's like, it's almost a huge relief just to finally get it.
Oh, like, I feel like it's been this, like, goal for forever. But to put it down in a main, like, I mean, I still didn't win. So I still didn't put it down like others did. But, like, to put it down for a decent result, that is just so cool to happen. And it's been something to keep it together for so long. And when then that finally happens. And, again, to have everyone there at the finish line, like, I was cramping up. But I was at the same time so happy. So, like, Oh yes!
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, how was the prep before that? Obviously, I mean, being in New Zealand, you're basically there full time now. A lot of the time, not full time, but
I'm here half the year. Like, basically, when the weather turns bad in Europe, I come here to prep for the season.
Smart move.
And then,
yeah. Smart move.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the Netherlands. Like, you cannot live there all year. I have a lot of respect for people who do. That's insane.
what was your off season like though?
It was good. I mean, I had a bit of a tough end of last season with a few hiccups and I had to miss some races. So it was a little journey to come back from that. But then, yeah, once I was based here and have a solid routine and have, like, I feel like with all the COVID and stuff that had been before, I have had to do a lot alone. So for the last two, three years to have my coach back on ground and to do all the routines together as with our training group and everything is just, it feels surreal for me. Like every day I'm like, oh, this is sick. So yeah, that helps a lot in preparing towards something like this. Like it is our home, but we just made it our home even more. Like we basically lived on that track. And yeah, it was just cool to do that with the whole group.
Who's all in your training group?
We've got quite a young training group, so yeah, they're young guns. I don't know how many of those guys you know, but the brothers Greenoff, you must mm-hmm. know both of them because yeah. they won yeah. both that weekend.
Yeah. Crazy.
We have Lila Walker. She's super good as well. Mm-hmm. She's very young and upcoming. We have Bailey Luttrell. She at the moment is coming back from an injury, but she's the most brave rider I've ever met, so that's also really cool. Cole McConey, Dan Franks. You guys know Dan Franks?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
in our training group, an absolute legend.
Is he the old guy of the group now?
Oh yeah, yeah. For sure.
He's grandpa. That's
funny. Yeah.
To, like, up the average age of our group. We were like, we need someone, come on. And then Dan was like, yeah, yeah. And we're like, okay, let's go.
So do you guys yeah. do all the training together? And like, do you like doing everything as a group? Do you ever like doing stuff alone?
I feel like I'm on a pretty different path than most of them. Always. Like, I don't know why. It just always turns out that way. So I do a lot of my trainings together, but actually I also like do a lot of trainings alone. For example, at the moment I do 4 gym sessions where they do 3. So then I do half of it myself and half of it with them. But then most track sessions we all do together. And usually for sprints, someone puts in the group, because we all live very close to each other around here. Someone puts in a group, what time is sprints? And then half the group shows up and half doesn't. It depends if whether people have plans or whatever. But yeah, most things it's quite like centralized and together, which is cool because it's voluntarily, really. Like, it's not, we don't have to do that. We just want yeah. to do that. That's awesome.
It's a treat having people you actually want to go train with instead of being like, ah, got to go work with them today. It's like, ah, I want to go by myself. It's like, no, it makes it way more fun if you can go hang out for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. We just talk shit and we train and it's pretty cool.
So one thing I've been wondering, I don't know if this is a loaded question or not, but is there any particular reason why you're not on the Dutch national team?
I was waiting for this question. I was like, I'm sure they want to know. Nah, it's okay. I feel I've been a late bloomer in almost everything in my life. So I think that's where I kind of started, because it's hard for like a national team is mostly driven on performance. So when that comes later, it's easier for someone to overlook someone. So I think that's where it kind of started, with not being part of it. And then by the time they approached me and they were like, okay, like, do you want to join us? I build up like a 7-year relationship with my coach now in our training group, and there was a lot mm-hmm. of trust there. And I feel like for me, trust is the biggest thing, and it had been there from the minute I was an absolute no one and I had 0 results. So for me, that at the moment overruled a group that maybe gave me a lot more ease and a lot more opportunity in other ways. But that trust wasn't there when I didn't show what I showed later on in my career. So for me, that was the biggest decision. Like, there's definitely no drama or anything. It's actually pretty mm-hmm. straightforward. Yeah.
Good for you. I love that you stick with your crew. You got your coach and the people you like to train with. And yeah, it's all stuff to weigh, like, when you're making the decision. And it's kind of nice too. Like, you have more freedom of races you want to do, or where you want to go, where you want to train, all that.
Yeah, for sure. It was like one of the most terrifying decisions to make, because obviously, like, it comes with a lot of consequences. Like, mm-hmm. If you don't do certain things, you don't get certain things. And it meant that a lot of responsibility came down to me. Like, how am I going to fund my season? How am I going to make things work? What if something goes wrong? Like, because I make the decision to stay with this crew, but they won't be everywhere. So if something goes wrong, that also means you're kind of left on your own sometimes. So it was definitely terrifying and a big, big gamble. But I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I talk with a lot of people around me and try to explain, like, hey, this is how I feel. How crazy is that? Like, how crazy am I? And at the end, we were like, okay, let's just take the gamble. If that feels right, then that's one of the most important things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. It's talking about, like, the trust you have. Like, you must be very confident in your program then, what you do as well. Do you have input in what you do, or do you kind of leave it all up to your coach?
I wish I could say, no, I'm super easy. Like, I just do what I get told. Nah, it's not like that. We are at a stage now that if he would put in my program, warm up, walking like a chicken, I probably would do it. But at the same time, I find it very important to understand and to be critical and to like be on top of things as well, because I feel you're the only one that feels how your body feels. And sometimes something can look a certain way, but maybe it's actually, like the reality is different. It just like looks a certain way. So if you don't put that input in, like, I don't think it will ever really kick to the next level. So yeah, now for sure, I have a lot of trust. And with Matt, like, I think the guy is a genius, but I definitely try to stay involved and put my own two cents in it too.
So you've made some great improvements the last couple of years and like had a steady rise to being one of the top women in the world. Anything in particular that you really had to improve that you did? Whether it's, you know, technically, physically, whatever. Yeah.
Where do you want to start? Like, the whole list.
Got a shopping list.
I think if I put two major ones down, I would say I put a lot of time in my mental prep, like a lot of time working with my psych and figuring out how, what, and where, with a lot of trial and error. So I definitely feel like that is one of the major, I feel like one day that was definitely one of my work ons, and now it's still, it always will be, but it's also one of my strengths right now. So that's definitely something that I think counts heavy towards it. And yeah, and like just physically getting a lot stronger. Like, we just put a lot of time into developing like physically and getting a bit more horsepower. And I think that manifests itself together now into getting a bit more steady and up there, which is cool.
Very cool. Yeah, I saw you're also, are you a psychology student right now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you know what it is like to be an athlete, like being under pressure all the time. So I feel like I'm always almost cheating and saying I'm a psychology student, because I definitely am, but I'm taking it very easy. Like one paper, two papers, yeah, nah, all good. Like once a year, all good. But nah, I try to still take it off and do my part because I find it important. But yeah, I'm definitely still studying.
Yeah, I think that's cool. Like if it's something that was, let's say, a weakness or something, now it's, you say it's a strength and you're also interested in doing it on the side as well. Like it's cool that you've been able to turn into that.
Yeah, no, exactly. I feel like that's where the first initial thought of wanting to study it came from, because I was like, man, like, everyone has these weird thoughts that I have? Like, is that normal? Like, I think I need to, like, learn about this because this is crazy. So, yeah, the interest was definitely from all the things that I struggled with. And then just, like, learning more and more, it definitely helped me in my own path as well. So, yeah, cool to combine it.
Did you always want to be a pro BMXer?
Oh, yeah. Like, I started BMX when I was, I think, 2 years old, almost three.
Wow.
And I don't know, for as long as I can remember, I was like, I want to go to the Olympics. I want to be a gold medalist. I want to. Yeah. So, yeah, sure, yeah.
Who did you look up to?
I feel like I've taken my inspiration from a lot of riders, whether it's like, I don't know, like Simone Christensen for her aggression in racing. Like, I've always really liked that. Or like Brooke for her style and jumping. Like, as a kid, that was something that I loved. Like, I loved watching her race. Or even Renaud Blanc with his style. Like, that was always something that I loved to see. But I feel like the only correct answer here for me is Mariana. Like, she has been my all-time
queen.
She is the queen. Like, I don't know, like, even now, like, I'm kind of friends with her, but I refuse to. I'm like, I cannot be friends with you. You're my idol. Like, we cannot do this. Like, this is insane.
So funny.
This woman is, for me, is the pinnacle of an athlete. Like, she is not just an amazing athlete, but an amazing, like, the way she supports people and the way she is, I think it's something to only look up to.
I couldn't agree more. Like if you look at her holistically, not just what she's accomplished on the track, but the way she holds herself and the way she helps make the sport overall better and people around her better. Yeah, I can't say enough good things about her. And I was thinking about this the other year. Like, obviously she's getting older, and when she retires, I hope it's going to be a big loss to BMX. I hope she stays involved in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she has so many opportunities to go for. So I'm not sure if it will be BMX. But I really hope so too.
Yeah.
I think the addition she adds to it, it's insane.
I want to ask you about your skills on the track, because I feel like I see videos every now and again of you're pulling some lines on the track, and it's like those skills seem to be like a level above some of the rest of the women in the field. And it's like, what has got you to that point, and why do you think that is? Like, why do you think your skills are as advanced as they are?
I feel like the whole reason I started riding BMX is because I actually just love riding my bike. And I feel it took me up to like 19 years old to realize what training was. Like, I thought training was just doing a new line every day. I was like, what do you mean I need to do 5 seconds straight full speed? No, I can do that. I need to do like triple manual back pedal to jump to manual. Like, what are you talking about? So I feel like I just spent such a large part of my of my life just trying crazy shit that I kind of got where I am today. But I still feel like there is girls that are way more skilled than I am. But I just love it.
I don't think there's any other girl that's going to be doing like a jump, you know, triple manual. There's not many girls that are going to be doing that, like a jump, land, triple manual. Nobody's, yeah.
So. I don't know. I think there's
some hidden gems there. You know who are really, the Gommer sisters have good skill. True, oh yeah. My God, it's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Got a game of
how was your transition? How was your transition to Supercross? Like, did you ride Paps much? Like, as, I don't know, when you were younger, like later teen years or anything, or what was your transition like?
That's a funny story, actually, because my first ever Supercross race was in 2017 in Papendal.
Oh, so, first one.
Yeah, and that was my first year elite as well. And that was also the first time I ever jumped a Supercross jump.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. That's right.
I was like, for one, when we were younger, it was a little bit hard for us to get onto Papendal because it was obviously with a lot of things that happened. Like, it was closed off for a while other than for the national team. Yeah. So I couldn't really ride there. And I had a really rough time, like, going from challenge to elite, like, because I never really spent time on the 8 meter. It was impossible. I was like, how am I meant to do this? Like, this is insane. So it took me actually, like, it's very funny to like watch videos back from myself around that time, because I was terrified. Like, I had so many big demons to overcome. And that was also the first year I went to New Zealand, and I just started training here, took a big gamble, literally came here with €2 in my pocket and hoped that someone would take care of me. And we just had a solid block, and my coach said, like, let's sign up for Papendal World Cup. And I was like, excuse me. I never did a pro, you know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, no, you got it. And yeah, that's how we started.
What are your thoughts on it now? Like, what are your thoughts on the World Cups all being on Supercross and things? Do you think that's right? Do you enjoy that part of it?
Oh man, I love Supercross. I feel like Supercross can be the best and the worst thing in the world. Like, when the weather is shit, I absolutely hate it. I'm like, nah. Like, side wind, nah, can we, nah. But when the weather is beautiful, I'm like, I can't get enough. It's so fun. Like, there's no feeling like that, right? Yeah. You guys must have had that.
That pretty much sums it up. Yeah, that pretty much couldn't agree more.
A perfect sunny morning, your first rip down the hill when everyone's just getting warmed up, and you just coast and hit the first one. It's like, okay.
Guys, so much more fun to ride. Like, it's just way more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes so much less effort because the hill helps you, and you're just like flowing. It's so fun.
doing gates on, like, if you're doing gates and first rates in training, it's way more fun on Supercross than regular, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. Go for it, James.
I was going to ask you, obviously, like, we have you up early in the morning now. You talked about, like, some of the training you guys do is because of the younger kids in the group. But what, like, I wonder, like, what gets you going in the morning? What gets you excited to train? Like, what's your why in that sense? Because I think a lot of people kind of stems from different areas, but you seem obviously very passionate, very excited to continue what you're doing. So kind of what is your reason behind all that?
Wow, that's a good question. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like, for one, I'm just a bit crazy. Like, I don't know why, but I'm just like, I have this hunger in me, and I just can't stop it. I'm like, I want to. Sometimes I need to have a holiday because it's in my program, but I just can't. It's just impossible. Like, I just want it so bad. So I think, like, I feel when we look back, that is has been developed over so much hard work, overcoming so much adversity. It just builds up that, like, hunger and the chase, I guess. So that's definitely part of it. And yeah, other than that, like, I feel like because I come from such a different background than most with like I wasn't that like 12-year-old that already like sent it everywhere, that had the national team support, or that like could go everywhere because financial that was possible, or that had the easiest path. Like I definitely didn't. So for me to show other girls, especially within our country as well, like, hey, when you're younger and people don't think you're it, or people don't think you can do it, that doesn't mean that you can't. So for me, it's also important to show like other riders that are in a similar situation now, like if you want something, then it's very possible.
I love that. You got to find your own way at the end of the day, right? It's like, it's what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
All right, James, want to get into some quick shots? I know we know Manon needs to put in some work this morning too.
Yeah, we got a bunch. Manon, are you familiar with the quick shot questions?
Actually, we don't call them quick shots anymore. We fucked it up.
The questions from the grandstands, but these are...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure you called it the questions from the grandstands.
Yeah, we still slip up. Old habits die hard, apparently.
Yep, not fire them.
We're show, 237 last time? We still couldn't figure out the audio and how to get the podcast up.
Is what it is. Lead us off, P-Daddy.
All right, first question. What's your favorite track to race? And this double shot, what's your favorite track to ride?
I think favorite track, period, is Glasgow.
Period. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never been there, but it looks good. Honestly, it looks really good.
For me, I love technical tracks. So the more I get to a third straight and I'm like, oh, hold on, the best thing it is for me. So, yeah.
Have you raced in the US before?
Only Rockhill in 2017 for the World Champs. Oh. But I got appendicitis, so I don't remember a lot.
Oh, shoot. That's so unlucky. I had it like 4 years ago, too. It's so random.
Yeah. And I didn't figure out for 2 weeks, so I got pretty sick.
Oh, my God. That's so sketchy. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Hardest competitor?
Hardest competitor.
I feel like this is a big compliment to give someone too. If you say that,
The whole field. Can I say that? No. Yeah. It must be like, I feel like Zoe is the type of girl that if you don't have her on the first straight, it's gonna be very hard to catch her.
She'd be tough to race. I bet she'd be really tough.
I would say Zoe for now. There's a lot, but let's say Zoe.
Sure, I like it. Do you have any superstitions?
Again, do you want me to put down the whole list?
Give me a couple. I could tell you, like, I have had a few. Like, I would say stuff to myself in my head. I never told anybody, but I always say it.
Oh yeah, I have like a whole conversation in my head all day. But I
think we all do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the most visual one that people notice is I always wear funky socks. That is one. And whenever I'm on the gate, I knock my boss.
Are we talking like a knock? Are we talking just you got to hit them, or like I'm gonna look for this now?
Like an actual knock.
Right. Yeah, that's a proper superstition.
That is a good one. I like that. Yeah.
People started counting them, and they're like, "We stopped. It's insane how often you do it."
Whenever I
think about something stupid, I just knock. So
I realized I did realize it. What's that like when people have like do things in threes? Like their superstition is to do things in threes?
Yeah, I do that. Obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, I have some of that. I had this chain.
Yeah, oh,
I
me too. 100%.
To three things. Yeah, it's just crazy.
I do so much shit like that. It's so weird.
I feel like that goes a bit further.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I turned into a psychopath now.
Favorite Netflix show?
Last Dance, I think.
What's it called?
Michael Jordan, The Last Dance.
Oh, The Last Dance.
Oh, Last Dance. What a documentary. That is one of the best all-time shows, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And then
God, it's so good.
Probably Drive to Survive and Breakpoint. I just love sports stuff, so yeah.
It's hard to go wrong with any of those, like, behind the scenes ones, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys already watch the new F1 series? I have.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good, dude.
What I wanted to bring up with the last 2 weeks, I thought the most hilarious part was Gunther just signing autographs about his book at the store. Are you kidding me? The guy's turned into a celebrity. The guy's just a little clown. It's just like goes around. It's like that guy's just an international celebrity now.
I feel like now he's fired. He should just have like a show on his own. Like he doesn't 100%. Need
100%. No, 100%.
So funny.
God, it's, yeah.
People just love how crazy it is. I love how every time after a race, he has to go talk to, what's the guy he has to go talk to, his team owner?
Gene, I think his name's Gene or something.
Gotta go talk to Gene. Hey, Gene. Yeah, shit race again.
He's just like rubbing his eyes. He's like, fuck, I gotta call Gene. Oh boy.
So funny. But now, what's your favorite sport outside of BMX then? Is it F1 at all? Because it happened to be that?
I mean, I love F1, but I wouldn't say, like, I'm surrounded by some pretty hardcore fans, so I don't dare to call myself a fan. I feel like, I don't know, like, I like all sports, like, a little bit, I would say. Yeah. Like, I like watching skating. That's a big Dutch sport. I love downhill. I love all the big bike stuff. Like, I think that's super fun to watch. Yeah. Basically that.
Verstappen must be a celebrity in Holland, like just huge probably.
I feel like I'm gonna get canceled from my country, but I'm just not a Verstappen
hell
fan.
Hell yeah. Come on, Manon. Fuck
I'm
Max.
Just not. Yeah, actually.
Fuck Max, he says.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is Jeffrey Herlings well known in Holland?
Oh yeah. Everyone knows Jeffrey. Absolutely, like how can you not? Yeah.
I get pissed off Afro Bob every few days these days, like when F1's season's racing.
Oh, he loves receiving huge Verstappen
like,
guys.
He sends me some like TikTok or like some Instagram reel of like Max, and I'm just like, you son of a bitch.
he's so good though. Like it's incredible.
The reels about the fact that the Dutch national anthem is like the theme song of Formula One. I'm like, no, stop this.
I like Charles Leclerc. I'm a Leclerc guy.
Yeah. Yes, I'm a Gasly girl, not a guy.
Gasly, yeah.
Who else am I? Sainz, big Sainz fan.
Carlos Sainz, he seems cool. Yeah.
Definitely.
What do you want to do after you finish racing?
I am not 100% sure. I definitely want to see. Well, like, I don't think I will stick around in sports a lot. Like, I say that now, but I don't know what will happen. Like, I want to see what else I can add to the world. But what it exactly will look like, I have no idea. I love to help people, so hopefully it's something like that. But, yeah, don't know.
Cool. This one's a double shot, two-part question. What's your favorite part about being a BMX athlete, and what's your least favorite part about being a BMX racer?
Favorite part is that I get to ride my bike almost like every day, and that's my job. How sick is that?
Yeah, pretty good.
Least favorite part is probably how egocentric you have to be sometimes in the sport. I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. Good outlook. I don't know, most people probably wouldn't say that, but yeah.
You probably haven't had In-N-Out. Have you had In-N-Out before?
Nah, I was waiting for the American questions. I was like, you know, fire me with it because I know absolutely nothing about it.
I know. I was gonna say, if you've only been to Rock Hill, they don't have In-N-Out on the East Coast. So
it's a big bucket list thing. Like, I want to do some more races.
Oh, there's
like,
some hype. There's some hype for In-N-Out.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, I'm like, yeah, I just haven't gotten around with it because it's just kind of expensive when like you have to pick and choose. When you have to fund yourself and like try to find the funds for it, like BMX life, right?
Yeah.
But if something I want to do because it looks so cool and the level is obviously like really high, so it's sick.
So you want to race some more in the US, like if you had the chance?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Serious hard hitting question here. So you're in a quarterfinal. You have to get top four. You can either go with 3 chainring bolts or 3 stem bolts. What are you picking?
I heard you ask Cedric this. I will definitely, I think I will, same answer as him. I will definitely go with the 3 chainring bolts. I want my boss.
Terrible answer. Worst decision.
No.
For you guys. All right, quarterfinal, World Cup. Would you rather ride with 30 PSI in your tires or 1 clip and 1 flat pedal?
That's a good question.
30 PSI.
Dude, no way. You're rimming the tire in the turns. 30 PSI. You're on rim. You're
I'd
folding your
out.
Tire.
30
you're on rim.
PSI.
You're sliding out. You have 30 a chance.
That's the first jump. Like, your rims will explode.
Yeah. Here's a question. Is the flat pedal, do I have like a Vans shoe on and like a clip pedal shoe on?
That would be so weird.
It would be weird, but...
Just like one pedal.
If I had two clip pedal shoes on and I'm trying to ride on one flat pedal, like I might as well just roll the track too. I'd have to take that though. I think I'm sliding out. I'm on rim. Tires folding, I'm on rim at 30 PSI, I think. So I'd
fuck it. I'm going 30 PSI and if I eat shit, I eat shit. I'm sending it.
That's a good one. I might add this to the list.
Yeah, that is good. All right. You're fifth at a world champ semi. Who you want to put over the who's in fourth that you're putting over the last corner?
I feel like I'm gonna say Maria Escobar because I love that girl. She Hell knows that it will be the least beef after that. She'll be like, I'll take you back next time we train, don't you worry.
Would you rather win an Olympic gold medal or win 3 world championship titles in your life?
This is like the question we always ask within our group, and I know it's an unpopular one, but Olympic medal. Yeah, Olympic gold medal.
I can't remember what I've said before, but I would take an Olympic gold over 3 world titles also.
Yep.
Go ahead, James.
No, it's fine.
I was going to just add on to that. Would you take, say, an Olympic bronze or a world championship?
Whew.
It's kind of a tough one because I know the world championship, it's like obviously you're world champion and it's a huge deal, but Olympic bronze, like, I don't know if it's the right term, but like would go farther in all of sport, like beyond your career also, I think, than winning a world champ.
Yeah, good point, because everyone can relate, like in a sense, to an Olympic medal, but what it means to be a world champion, be in mixed racing, I don't think
people
everyone
don't know. Can. Yeah.
But I don't know, like I feel like from like I don't really give a shit what people think about that to mm-hmm. like it's that will mean something to me, and I feel like probably that's hard. Probably
I think the world championship, like if you think about personally, would probably it's probably a bigger deal because you're fucking world champion.
Yeah, you were the best.
Yeah.
And third is still like second loser, right?
Yeah, it's true. Like, obviously, it's bigger than, it's, like, more recognizable, but it's, like, you really think, winning the world, I think, would be a bigger deal.
I think getting a bronze Olympic medal would be unreal, but, yeah, I think I would take the rainbow jersey.
James, what would you take?
Okay.
It's a tough one. I don't know what I would, it's a tough one. Like, I think I would take the world championship, actually.
I'll do the argument side of it and go with the Olympic bronze because, when you talk to somebody on the street, like I talked to my friends now and they're like, if they ask me a question and I wanted to give them a result and I said I had Olympic bronze, they would know what that meant versus when someone says they're a world champ in their sport sometimes, and unless you know the sport, sometimes you're like, okay, cool. Like, what was the competition like? But if you say in the Olympics, they know it's fucking, they know how serious the competition is.
Yeah.
But would it mean more?
You're what?
Sorry, go ahead. Say it again.
Now you're like thinking about what other people would think about it.
But I care what other people think. I want them to give me all the glory. Are you kidding me?
I think internally, like, I think your feeling winning the world champs would be like,
yeah,
the sense of accomplishment for being world champion and wearing the rainbow jersey, I think would be unmatched probably.
I think, if you had to pick that moment would be greater than the other.
You're playing your national anthem. That'd be something. We got any else, James?
No, I think that's it. Manon, do you have anything for us? I mean, it's been a pleasure being able to chat with you. And
do you have anyone you want to thank?
Is there anybody you want to thank?
We usually forget to do this. Do you have anyone you want to thank? We do this like once every 25 shows, probably.
Oh, yes. Like, wow. Practice the speech here. obviously, like, my family, first of all, and, like, family that has been added to my side due to the people around me. Like, that's the main group of people. And then my coach, obviously, he's brought me everywhere. But in reality, like, I feel like besides the people that are there to support you, like, without like my sponsors, my team, I wouldn't even be able to do this journey. So it's definitely like, I mean, this is a bit of a risky one to say. Well, I won't, because it's your podcast. But
no one's listening. It's fine.
The friends they come support me, they are like insane, and the prophecy that support me, that's insane. Specialized, like it's all like I'm riding for Ugo Mafita and the team. I mean, they literally are the reason I can ride. So it's like, how can I not say thanks about that? Like, that's insane.
Your new kit, I saw, I don't know if it's a new kit, but that other kit, the Specialized kit you're wearing, was sick.
Yeah, smooth like butter. It's from Luke Bruni, but I always feel a bit scared to wear it because this guy has like, he has no flaws. So I feel like when I ride, I say something like dishonor the kit. I'm like, no, this is not okay.
Well, Manon, we really appreciate you coming on. I've become a big fan watching you race the last few years. I can just tell how hard you work and how hard you grind. And I think it's really impressive and incredible what you've done and turned into one of the, or worked towards and earned being one of the fastest elite women in the world. So look forward to following your progress and best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me on. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our thanks, pleasure. Man. So yeah, have a good training session today. Get ready for Tulsa.
Yep. I will. Don't you worry. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll chat soon. See you later.
Thanks, Manon.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, Iron. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.